I remember seeing a poster a while back that drew my attention back to the Lord and raised my respect level and worship level during communion time, and gave me a better heart for the Lord's Supper. When I was growing up for a year or two, did attend church and had the opportunity to participate in communion on an every Sunday basis. And because of that, my heart didn't really look at the Lord real closely during that time. I started to take Him for granted and not have a heart open to Him. But the poster that I saw was simply a picture of a loaf of bread that would be broken at communion time and a nice cup representing the cup that Jesus passed around. And the words on the poster said something like this: "The Lord requests the honor of your presence at His table at the supper given in His honor." And so when I thought of that, I thought, wow, I really get to participate in something that the Lord established. It was His table and His invitation, which was real, real special. And He really wanted me to come to Him. And I think communion is a time to do that. If you've never received Christ, you can put your faith in Him. Or if you have received Christ, you can come to Him and know again, close fellowship. And the whole experience was centered around Christ. It was His table. He set the table with the bread and the cup and what He would do for us at the cross. And that just allowed me to say, this is a holy time. And when Jesus thought of His disciples, He said He eagerly desired to eat that meal with them. He called it a Passover meal. And for the Jewish people, the Passover meal was the holiest meal up to that point in the history of mankind. It was almost like our 4th of July 100 times over. Because during the Passover, the Jewish people remembered that they were set free from another nation, from the nation of Egypt, and from slavery. And not only that, they were freed from the judgment and wrath of God. And so you could imagine the intense emotions that Jewish people had around Passover. And so Jesus took that meal, combined it with His Last Supper. What a holy time that the Son of God would just say, this is the last time I'll be doing this with you before I die and rise again. And He made it a time where they would know a covenant from God to them. In the Passover, God told His people, look, there's judgment coming, there's difficulty and death coming, but for you to be protected, take a lamb and slay the lamb and put the blood of the lamb on the door of your house, and you'll be protected. And so when Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, He took a cup and He said, this is My blood of the new covenant, which is given for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is saying, now it'll be My blood that will protect you. And only My blood can save you from the wrath, from death, and from judgment against sin. And so the disciples, you know, knowing their need, would be very taken back. It would be a very holy time and an intense time between Jesus and them. And you would think that Jesus celebrating this Last Supper, He would have just the cream of the crop of all humanity celebrating that time with Him. But that was not so. If you have times of gathering for family, sometimes those times are very relaxing and great and full of celebration, and sometimes they're very, very intense. Well, this was a very intense time, both that when love was offered and both when self-examination was presented to the disciples. Jesus says talks to them, and He brings up, of all things, in a last meal setting, the topic of the forgiveness of sins. He says, this cup is My blood given for the forgiveness of sins. And I'm sure the disciples thought, well, I must need this since the Lord is bringing it up. And now, they've been following Jesus for 3 years. So they had pretty much put their faith in Christ in a manner of speaking. But He's still bringing up that topic, the forgiveness of sins. And they sensed their great need for that, even though they were invited to this meal. A little bit earlier, before the meal, the disciples were fussing around about who would wash whose feet at the preparation for the mealtime. Who was going to serve? And all of them didn't want to serve the other guy. They thought, if I take the form of a servant, that's going to be a put down to me, so I'm not going to do that. So their hearts weren't right moving up to the Last Supper. And there was betrayal at the Last Supper. Difficulty going on right within the family of followers. Jesus said, the hand of the one who is going to betray me is on the table with me. If Judas were somehow in the fellowship today, his hand would be on the communion table. See, with Christ and with you and I. And it's not real clear in the Bible whether Jesus participated in communion or not. But it is clear he was there. He was there. And Jesus waits to the last possible moment to identify him as the betrayer. Because I think in his love, he was giving Judas a chance to repent and say, I don't want to do that. And often in our relationship with God, even in a close time with him, we deal with the sin of betrayal. Sometimes it's our own betrayal of our following of Christ, that we go half-hearted with that. We betray our own faith. Sometimes we betray the Lord by turning our back on him in willful disobedience. Sometimes as believers, as we do, either intentionally or unintentionally, we would betray each other. If that has happened to you, that's a very painful thing if it takes place in a family or in a fellowship of Christians. And Jesus knows how that feels. He can minister to us and help us and gives us a view of how he even tried to include the betrayer in, and he could have been a forgiven betrayer. So if you feel like, you know, you've been a betrayer, you could be a forgiven betrayer, or if someone has betrayed you, you could say, well, at least Jesus would invite them, and you invite them too in your own soul. But all of that is going on. In addition to that, at this holy meal, the most holy meal ever celebrated, an argument breaks out among the disciples as to which one is the greatest of all things beyond Jesus. And that argument is replayed probably at every kitchen table in our homes, you know, as members of the family battle about A, B, or C. And say, well, I think I'm the best this and the best that. I did it growing up, and my family does it now. Whether there's the four of us there or sometimes just the two of us there. You know, who's really the best at whatever? And that conversation is often replayed, too, among the people of God. As we gather together, what's the best way to follow Jesus? Well, my way is the greatest way. Of course you'd want to see my point of view. And so the argument is replayed. And Jesus has to interrupt all that and say, hey, remember me. Remember me. I'm the head of your life. I'm the head of your family at home. I'm the head of your church. I'm not going to get off the throne and have you be the greatest. You know, will the Lord deliver us from that? We want Christ to be head and to give him the honor. So Jesus had to deal with all that. He says, remember me. And he says, does anybody here need the forgiveness of sins? The forgiveness of sins. And I'm sure his disciples were open and said, oh, Lord, we do. It was offered at the Lord's table. And Jesus promises the forgiveness of sins because there was a condition to be faced. As we approach the table, we're to examine ourselves. There's a condition to be faced in our own soul. What is the condition of your soul before the holy law of God? God's law is perfectly right, perfectly holy. How does your life measure up before the holy law of God and God in his holiness? Is there any sin offense between you and the Lord that he offers the cup about? Said, this is a promise for the forgiveness of sins. If you're not a Christian, you never received Christ before. Boy, there's a sin offense that God wants you to face up to your condition. You know, you're separated from God. Jesus would let you know, he called Judas the son of perdition. That it's possible to be in a close service and communion itself and still be on your way to an eternity without God on your way to hell. Christ would say, you can have me in forgiveness if you would but turn. Face the condition of your soul. If you're a Christian and have been following Jesus in a casual way, I'm waiting for somebody else to get excited about the Lord before I do. You know, it's too hard for just me to follow Jesus passionately. Do you have sin to confess before God? And are you in need of His forgiveness? He offers it. He's available. He's the Messiah for the one yet to receive Him. He's the Messiah for His disciples who are around that table. As we face our condition before God's holy law, the Apostle Paul reminds us, he said, the law was given so our mouth could be silenced and we would be held accountable to God. That means before God's law, no one here got anything better than an F this past week. That's just the Bible truth. It is meant to shake our soul. Before the holy law of God, no one here got any better than an F in terms of how, you know, we lived up to what the Lord was telling us to do. And so that's our condition. Face the condition. I remember taking Spanish 2, which was a requirement for where I was headed. And I thought, English is hard enough. With the Spanish 2 thing, I'll never make it. And so with God's mercy, I go in it. The first test the teacher gives, we thought, hey, we can't take this Spanish too seriously. It's too hard. You know, the teacher's kind of easygoing, so why be so serious about what she's saying? She gave a test. The whole class got an F. The whole class. And I remember looking at mine. I had a 54. And my friend I looked over, he had a 12. And I thought, you know, I started to feel better about myself. But my F was as red as his F. And certainly I did. I had nothing to boast about before God. If I put my chest up in the air, I'm a stuck-up Spanish student, you know. And we as people before God, before the holy law of God, we don't want to be stuck-up Christians. Well, at least we go to church. At least we read the Bible. We don't want to do that. I remember as a child, a stuck-up person was somebody who was not healthy in their soul. The body of Christ is not stuck-up. Hopefully when the world looks to us, they don't stay, you know, stuck-up Christians. They don't know they need the forgiveness of sins that their own Savior would offer. And He does. He says, this is the covenant given for the forgiveness of sins. There's a condition to be faced. And it causes us to run to the Savior. Then there's a Savior to be embraced. The reaction of our F before a holy God is not to say, well, I better bring my grade up. You know, I'll earn a few things and then I'll get at least a D or a C. I better bring my grade up. The response to our F before a holy God is to say, I need Jesus who has the A. And I need His forgiveness and His love, or I'm never going to even step foot in fellowship with Him or in heaven. That was the disciples' desperate need. Even around that table, that's our desperate need, even as followers of Christ. Someone said, on our best day, we break 8 out of 10 commandments. That's our best day. So our need for the Lord is great. And He is great to provide. When I first received Christ, on a scale of 1 to 10, I thought, I need the forgiveness of sins, a 10, with intensity. I had a foul mouth, foul heart, selfish, and anger. 4 big sins. You know, if the Lord could take care of them, I'm an angel. But after walking with the Lord for a while, seeing Him more clearly, seeing sin problem more clearly, on a scale of 1 to 10, I need forgiveness 100. 100. Because I see Christ and His greatness and rejoice in what He would provide. And I'm very grateful to the Lord for providing it at the cross. The hymn Rock of Ages is a good prayer to pray as we approach the Lord's table. And the disciples could be won over by this. One verse says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, come to thee for grace." That's a song for the Christian. "Foul, I to your fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die." You know, the forgiveness of sins is not just a one-time decision that you made when you received Christ. It's to be an everyday gift that you receive from the Lord. An everyday gift that certainly changes the heart. And if you are grateful to the Lord for the forgiveness of sins, you will be a good disciple. You will be edified and strengthened in a big way by His love. Because you'll say, "Wow, God has been faithful once again. And my chains on a daily basis could fall off. My heart will be free. I'll go and rise and follow Him." Isaac Watts had a great obedient heart toward the gift of forgiveness. He wrote, "Joy to the world." And this is what he wanted to give to the Lord for what the Lord did for him in the song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Isaac Watts said, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, if I can give God everything in nature, my life and everything else, that would be a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Well, what a call that comes from Jesus' death on our behalf. And we say, "Lord, by your grace, I'll follow." A Savior to be embraced, who has embraced you and me when we were rebellious and lukewarm and half-hearted. Forgiveness of sins. And then a decision to be made. Would you trust Christ, not yourself? And the same questions for believers and unbelievers. Would you accept the A and forsake the F? Accept Christ. Forsake your own efforts. The amazing love He gives. I read in a bookstore the other day a book I mentioned this Friday called Son of Hamas. It's about a Muslim fella who grew up so angry at life in Israel, he became a terrorist for Hamas. His job was to go and blow up things and people in Israel. So he did that for a while, but God tapped on his heart and said, "This is wrong." He was tired of innocent people being exposed to being killed. And so Israel got a hold of him, and he became a spy for Israel. So he went from, you know, trying to destroy Israel to being an adventurous spy to uphold Israel. But he said even in that, he didn't find peace in his soul until he read the New Testament. And he started to read about who Jesus was. And he said it was the most powerful news he had ever heard. You know, more it produced some fire in him more than a terrorist or more than an Israeli spy had. He said it was Christ. And now he's dedicated his life to telling Muslim folks and Jewish folks about the peace with God they could have through Christ. And that's the decision to be made by us as God's followers. Lord, would you produce in me a gratitude and a fire and a thankfulness like this son of Hamas had? Appreciated Bob's song. You know, here we are. The thief, I'm a murderer, I'm a thief, and I find that Jesus is next to me. And I have a chance to say, Lord, I need you. And he's so willing to say, today, you know, you'll be with me in paradise. Could you put your trust in Christ? Know the wonderful grace, the forgiveness of sins. We're going to close in a prayer that is often used to have people turn to the Lord in a significant manner, part of the song, "Just As I Am." But could you say, Lord, make the forgiveness of sins that you gave me the freedom I need. And might it be on a daily basis, Lord, might I never forget I need that today as much as the day I prayed to receive you. And let's pray to the Lord and be close to Him at His table. Father, help us face our condition. Help us embrace You, Jesus, as a Savior today and at Your table. And each day of our walk, we are grateful, humbled, and excited. And then, Lord, help us to make that decision. Yes, I'll receive Jesus as my promise, my forgiveness, my new life. I need a new life, and it'll only come through Christ. So might we know fellowship with You. Might we be able to say, both those who have received Christ and those who would receive Christ, just as I am, without one plea, but that Your blood was shed for me, and that You bid me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. We come thankfully and gladly. We pray, Father, for those who have needs physically. Be with Taya Craycraft in surgery tomorrow. Bless and give relief and good healing. Be with Wes Hughes, Bill Freeze, upcoming surgeries, Fred Azevedo and Ken Sherman, Terry Steck. Thank You for those who served at the game dinner. Might people who made decisions follow You well among Your people. Be with our nation and soldiers at war. Give protection. Give healing to Haiti and Chile. And help us to, throughout the communion time, lay burdens at Your feet and with Your help, repent of sin and turn to You. Thank You for the choir song. We do meet with You, our shelter, our strong tower, our deliverer, our very present help in time of need. So, Jesus, meet us where we're at, and thank You for the cross. In Your name we pray. Amen.